It's a great pleasure to be here. What I'm going to be talking about is the National Leadership Academy for the Public's Health. And just so that everybody knows, before you leave, there are applications in the back. And one of the case study I'm going to talk about also has a poster in the back. So you might want to pick that up and take a look at it. And I will remind you again. I have no disclosures. The objectives of this presentation is really going to be to define what we're talking about when we talk about successful intersectoral leadership practice, to look at what kind of leadership is needed for really achieving collective impact versus the traditional leadership development approach, and to talk about an approach to leadership development for multi-sector teams doing population health improvement in their communities. So why are we doing this? Well, these are really complex and wicked problems that we are trying to address. We're trying to address the things that we know, because we're all very experienced in public health and community health, don't get solved by any one program. But the problem of having the skills to work with people from other sectors, from people whose vocabularies are not the same as yours, the values are not the same, or not described in the same way, and whose methods of doing work are not the same. So it's almost like having two or three or four or five different cultures coming into a room and trying to decide what's the issue we're trying to address and how do we get there. And that's a challenge. And so that was what we were trying to address through this program. So, Just to give a bit of background, the Center for Health Leadership and Practice has been working in the area of public health leadership development, and pretty much like a lot of the programs across the country, we were working on developing individual capacity and management capacity, and what we found is that individual skills improved and organizational skills improved, but that didn't really take the organizations outside of themselves and into the kinds of organizations that we wanted to see relationships with and really develop movement and culture around. So we've been looking at the idea of collective capacity, networks, and systems with the concept that that would move beyond the individual, beyond just the organization, and into the community, into the field. And that is the birth of the Leadership Academy for the Public's Health. And it says Leadership Academy for the Public's Health because we actually have two. We have the national, which is a CDC-funded national competitive process, and then we have one just based in California, which is funded by the California Endowment. But they follow the same model very closely. So why are we doing this? Well, here are the different folks around the table. They all have a different puzzle piece, and it's all a different color. And that's kind of like what we find when we try to sit down with people who we may really all be talking about the same thing, but we use such different vocabulary and such different styles to talk about what we are talking about. So we are thinking, how do you work with all of the stuff that is already in the community and build the infrastructure, build the core for leveraging those assets, for increasing and improving those partnerships, because they're already there. They're already there in many, many little pieces, and our challenge is to find a method that makes that happen more quickly, so that we do move as a group in changing the culture and moving towards an improved state of the community's health. So specifically, the goals of this program are to drive evidence-based policies, to align medicine and public health, and to improve health outcomes and move towards health equity. In terms of the model, just a real quick shot at the model, we're looking at leadership intersection between yourself, your team, your community, and your systems. And we work the curriculum in such a way that it does develop that knowledge and that awareness of what the differences are and what we're trying to do in terms of achieving systems change. We do this by really working with people around data so that they understand how data can truly assist all of them in their plan, in their figuring out where their start point is, trying to figure out where they're going to, how well they're doing and getting there, and whether they get there at the end. So we work very hard with them on teaching continuous quality improvement. The curriculum is based off of the idea of starting with an inspiration, going into the ideation, moving into implementation, and then growing, sustaining, and transitioning the the concepts that are learned and practiced. There are several key elements, and that's what this slide hopefully will help you to get, and I'll describe each box, starting with the project focus. Everybody who applies for the National Leadership Academy for the Public's Health applies as a team, and the team has already decided what they want to focus on, where they want to move their community. They have some concept of what their project or what their endpoint is going to be. The teams are, by definition, intersectoral. We want one public health person, usually a health director or somebody with some ability to leverage resources within their department as a part of the team, but not necessarily the lead for the team. So I'll show you a slide in a minute that gives you an idea of what kinds of sectors we have involved, but it really does involve members, all kinds of different members of the community, including police chiefs, community organizers, city planners, all sorts of folks. The team comes together before we have our first retreat, and they actually start to work on defining what their project is going to be. Then we have an on-site learning, which is a retreat. It's two and a half days of very intense work with us. We do presentations. We get them to meet with each other and other teams, get them to network across on subject areas. We have very provocative speakers who help to push the envelope a little bit in terms of what people are thinking. And by the end of the retreat, many, if not most, teams have decided they need to rewrite their goal and that they need to bring in more partners, which is good. From our perspective, those are both two really good outcomes of the retreat. We support that throughout the year with a series of webinars, some of which are elective, some of which are mandatory, and then work with them to become continuous learning groups and to help them network with others who are doing the same kind of work. So a team maybe in Omaha might be doing the same kind of work as a team in Southern California, and they have some knowledge and some ideas and some experiences to share with each other. So they are helping. We're doing some self-organizing communities of practice amongst the teams, both from the first and the second year, to get folks that are working in the same kinds of areas together and networking. The really critical component of all of this, the glue that holds it all together, is the coaches. And I want to ask the coach that's in here to raise his hand. And what the coaches do is they work with the teams to help them incorporate the didactic information and their own practice, their own style, their own issues to help them move the curriculum along, and they do this through a series of monthly phone meetings. There's also an on-site visit. And then finally, there's the piece that's the summary of the evaluation. And I put that at the end because you have to always end with some evaluation, but I want to say we start at the beginning. We start at the beginning, we assess from the beginning, we assess all the way through the process, and we ourselves practice continuous quality improvement. We even change our curriculum mid-course if that's what's needed. So we try to both do this ourselves and to get our teams into the groove of doing this themselves. Where are the teams located? These are first and second year teams. They're across the country. We've just opened the competition for this year, and we have gotten application, or we've gotten interest from Karya, how many states? 32 states and four territories have downloaded the application. So there's a lot of broad national interest, and that's actually really good. The diversity from across the country is really, truly wonderful. What kinds of sectors are represented? As you can see, local health departments, state health departments, and local government are big. We want at least a public health person there. If other government sectors are there, that's also very, very good if they help to contribute to what the team's work is. We really don't want teams of just public health people. That isn't what we're trying to do. We're really trying to get the odd sectors that don't talk to each other as much as they might, who are willing to dream and to really think about what they might do if they had a solid relationship with a different type of department or a different kind of agency or a different part of government, what they might do. So, of course, now we're getting hospitals, we're getting education, other kinds of nonprofits, and then there's this other category that's all kinds of miscellaneous, and I won't try to hit on that. What types of teams? It's interesting because in the first year we had more maternal child health, and that sort of made sense. It hadn't really been as defined as we would like it to be. In the second year we get much more of a focus on chronic disease prevention, which is really where we think that almost all of the projects are moving towards. Plus, what we find is that what people learn by going through this process is that they can take those skills and use them in other kinds of situations. We have one team that took their skills. They were working on lead poisoning prevention project, and they ended up being very instrumental in the response to Hurricane Sandy. And they came back to us and said, you know what we learned? What we learned in the leadership academy really helped us in the situation of a major disaster like Sandy. There are some teams that are specifically emergency preparedness, and we're increasing in the health policy side. So why are we doing this? What kinds of results do we get? Well, in our cohort one, we've just completed a pretty extensive evaluation, and I'm really pleased to say that we scored in over 90% in terms of the model being effective in supporting intersectoral leadership development, that the strategy was effective, and that they agreed they recommend the program to colleagues. So recommendations are really a nice assessment of whether it was worth your time to attend and participate. Teams report that they are regularly engaging other sectors, so that is our sign that we're doing the right thing and helping people to move on. This is the midterm of the second year. We're seeing people acknowledge that their collaborative leadership skills are being advanced, that they're growing as a team better, that they are effectively working across sectors, and this is what we are hoping to hear. So I wanted to talk a little bit about what it does actually look like on the ground. Colorado Springs is one of our teams this year, and they are working on the issue of trying to address obesity prevention. So they came in with that vision, and after they worked for a while, they realized they needed to be a little bit more focused, so they decided to work on obesity prevention in children. They had a very a community that had a lot of assets, but those assets hadn't come together quite in the way that they might. What you're looking at right now is a document that we have everybody fill out at the beginning. It's a tool that we use called the Big Picture. And it allows people to start at the beginning to figure out what is the context they're working on. That's the blue box, and this is how Colorado Springs defines their context. To look at who are the stakeholders, who are the resources that they might be able to start to leverage and really organize working and moving a community towards a certain goal. Why should they do it? What's the rationale? That's the yellow box. Looking at the green box, what's the pathway to change and what are the key activities they're going to undertake? The orange box, or what are their leadership learning priorities? And then finally, what are their indicators of success, their output, and their process indicators, and to look at defining what their outcome indicators are. Just so that you know, in the back of the room is a copy of this. You can see, you can actually pick it up and take some time to look at it. So this is the evaluation tool that they used in order to determine whether there's change or not. Here is their assessment tool. They're doing having every young person involved in this particular project use this tool in order to assess how much physical activity, what does their diet look like, what are they doing instead of watching television, and whether they're drinking enough water. And here are the young people that they're working with, some photographs of what this actually looks like on the ground. So that gives you a sense of what the theory is behind what we're trying to do, and you get at least one picture of what one community is doing with the program. So what they have accomplished so far is an RX for parks. They've moved into healthy vending at community centers, and as you can see, a couple of other things, and they have a series of next steps. These are all on the chart that's in the back of the room that I'm happy to have you pick up. And I want to thank everybody. If you would like any more information about it, the blue down there, healthleadership.org, that's our website. The application period is open now and closes on November 26th. Thank you.